Good morning. It's good to see all of you. Merry Christmas. And let me just kind of echo what John said a few minutes ago about Christmas Eve. It's coming Thursday at 5:30. One of my favorite times of the year. It's going to be very similar to that last song. It's just going to be a time of carols, scripture, and communion. Very stripped down. Lights will be down. And just carols, scripture, and we'll take communion together. So it's going to be a great night. One of my favorite nights of the year. So be sure and invite a lot of folks. It'll be a great night. And be here for that. One of my favorite nights of the year. But I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that tomorrow night might just be one of my favorite nights of this year. Because a bunch of guys are gathering to go watch Star Wars. At 9 o'clock, 9:10 in Smyrna. And so if you want to do that and join us, just come on, 9:10 in Smyrna. Some of us will be at Buffalo Wild Wings at 7:30 before that there in Smyrna. So if you want to be a part of that, just come on, out there as well. I'm excited about that. But besides Star Wars, Christmas, in America today is filled with movies. It's just known by, movies. So you get all kinds of different shows as well, just random, almost this, psychedelic claymation Burgermeister Burger show that comes on television, and then you've got Rudolph, and you've got Frosty, and you've got Charlie Brown, and then you've got the real Grinch, not the new Jim Carrey one, but the real Grinch. And when I was a kid, like, these were a much bigger deal than they are today, because you couldn't get them on DVD, you couldn't get them on, you know, maybe you set your VCR and copy it if you were lucky and got the times. But for my brother and I, it was a really big deal. We made sure mom and dad knew, hey, 8 o'clock Tuesday night, we've got to be home. And so we'd plop down in front of that giant, like, 1,000-pound wooden piece of furniture that had a TV built into it and get on our, you know, sit here and watch it. It was a big deal for us. We loved those things. But there's so many great, you know, shows this time of the year, from Christmas Story, It's a Wonderful Life, which we introduced our kids to last night. We watched that, and they were shocked that a black and white movie could be so good. They were like, it's black and white. It's not going to be any good. We're like, trust us, trust us. So we introduced them to Wonderful Life last night. And then you've got A Christmas Carol, which, you know, is adapted from Charles Dickens' classic novel. And honestly, on that one, they used to make us watch that, you know, at Pine Log Elementary. And that one used to wig me out a little bit. I mean, nothing says Merry Christmas like a psychopathic Grim Reaper ghost while you're sitting there sharpening your candy cane into a spear to stab your friends with. That's, you know, nothing says Merry Christmas like that. But the whole idea of A Christmas Carol, right, with Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas future. Dickens never intended it this way at all when he wrote it. But as I was thinking about this week, I got to thinking about, you know what? That's actually not a bad lens to kind of see the true Christmas story through. The idea of Christmas past and Christmas present and Christmas future. Because I think it kind of gets at what the heart of Christmas is all about. Like, everybody in this room, because of the fact that you're in this room, would agree that the heart of Christmas isn't, you know, the movies, and it's not sharpening your candy cane, and it's not, you know, all these other trappings that come around. All of us in here would agree it's about Christ, right? We would. That's just basic Christianity. Most of us would agree on that. But what we need to hear, and what I want you to understand, is that Christmas isn't just about the baby in the manger. Okay, it's also about the cross. It's also about the resurrection. It's also about today, 2015. It's also about Christ's return. Christmas encompasses all of that. Like, that's why we celebrate Advent. That's why we light these candles in anticipation of Christ coming. You see, Advent is, that's what it's about. It's about anticipation. It's about this expectation of the Messiah coming. Okay, it's about anticipating with hope and with peace and with joy and with love. It's what it's all about, a longing and a waiting for the arrival of the Messiah. And so we celebrate that after millennia of prophecies and promises that the Messiah was finally born. And so we celebrate that longing and that anticipation was fulfilled with the birth of the Christ child. Okay, with the arrival of Jesus, with His advent, which means arrival. That's what it means. But our celebration of Advent, all right, is also an expectation and a longing for the second Advent, for the return of Christ, not as a baby, but as Christ the King when He comes again. All right, Advent encompasses all of these things when we celebrate Advent. It's about the fact that Christ has come, that Christ is present with us right now through the Spirit, and that Christ will come again. Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. And so this morning, I just kind of want to unpack that a little bit. Let's kind of talk about Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future, and try to use some Christmas carols to kind of help us do that. With the hope being that we will again marvel at the grace of God that's been shown us in Christ. That we will again marvel that hope has come into the world and is coming into the world. That there's hope because God has kept His promises, and He's keeping His promises, and He will keep His promises. Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. And so let's chat a little bit about Christmas past. Okay, Christmas past and the hope of Christmas past. And here's what that hope is. Jordan already read it, but let's look at it again in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The hope of Christmas past. Here's what it says. Verse 21, Matthew 1. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. That's why the baby was born. He didn't come to give us a cute little cuddly story of a magical night. He came for the expressed purpose to save His people from their sin. Like amidst the presence and amidst the family drama, because you know it's going to go down, right? Amidst all of those things, like, recognize that's why we're celebrating. That Jesus has come. God the Father has sent His Son to save us from our sins. The King of glory, second person of the Trinity, God the Son, has come and taken on flesh. He left His throne, lived in a womb for 9 months, was born in a stable, lived a life of perfect, sinless obedience to the Father in our place because none of us did it. And then He died on the cross in our place as our substitute to pay the penalty we owed for our sin. Jesus did it for us. And then He rose in victory over sin and death. Like, this is why He came. He came to save His people from their sins. And so don't ever separate the baby in the manger from the man on the cross. That's the whole reason He came. That's the whole reason He came. The Father sent His Son to save sinners like you and like me. Not on the basis of our actions, but on the basis of Christ's actions for us, in our place, as our substitute. Which means none of us, especially this time when you're around non-believers and family members, need to walk with some sort of swagger as if you've done anything. But you haven't done anything. Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. And it's just a gift of grace to be received by anyone who will believe. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all the people, all who will believe. And so indeed, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. The greatest gift of Christmas isn't found under a tree. He hung on one. This is the hope of Christmas past. But this hope is not just something to look back on, but it's something that we have right now, like December 20th, 2015. And so secondly this morning, let's consider the hope of Christmas present. Look at Matthew chapter 1 again, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God with you. God with me. God with us. This Christmas season, we've got to hang on to this truth that in Christ, God is with us and always will be. I mean, we see it in his birth right here. He's named Emmanuel, which means God with us. And after his resurrection, just before he ascends back into heaven, he says, and lo, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we see the promise that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so in your deepest valleys and in your highest, on your highest mountains, God is there and he gets it. Like, whatever you're going through, God gets it. Christ gets it. In his omniscience as God, yes and amen. But also because he's experienced it as a human. That's who Jesus is. He's not some 50-50 conglomeration. He's 100% God, 100% human. This is the miracle of the incarnation. God the Son being clothed in human form, being 100% God, remaining what he was, eternally God. He became what he wasn't. He became also human. And is that today and forevermore will be. And so whatever you're going through, he gets it in his omniscience as God, and because he's experienced it. Like he not only knows about life, he knows what life is like because he experienced. Christ has experienced. He lived it. He gets it. So he knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to be stabbed in the back and betrayed by those closest to him. He knows what it's like to be rejected and not have a friend in the world. He knows what it's like to be praised and how fickle that praise can be. He knows what it's like to be despised for no reason at all. He knows what it's like to be doubted. He knows what it's like to be troubled, to be deeply grieved, even to the point that he sweated blood. He knows what it's like to be sorrowful. He knows what it's like to be tempted, to be tired, to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be frustrated, to be angry. He knows this, and he's with us in it, giving hope even when the world has lost its mind and it's bleak and it's dark and we're wondering, where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me? He gets that. He's experienced that. And when we question that, where are you, God? Where are you? He's just kind of like, I'm right here. I'm Emmanuel. I'm with you. In the midst of the dark, in the midst of your uncertainty, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the loss that you feel, especially this time of year, I'm with you. And you can't see the end of the craziness of the world. You can't see where I'm taking this, and I don't expect you to understand it all, but I am calling you to trust me. And take hope in me, even in this present darkness, because the future's coming and the future's guaranteed. It's a living hope, 1 Peter tells us. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you by God's power. I mean, the hope of Christmas is not just that the baby's been born, but the hope is here right now because Christ is with us. He is with you right now. He's eternally Emmanuel. For the believer, he's eternally with you. And so we don't have to give our lives over to fear or hopelessness or despair. That there's hope even in the bleakest of times. So December the 1st, 1863, the American poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was at his house eating dinner, and he got a telegram that informed him that his son, Charlie, had just been severely wounded in the Civil War, all right, in a battle near New Hope Church in Virginia. Severely wounded. All right, and this is coming on the heels just 2 years prior. Longfellow had lost his wife, his second wife, in a freak accident where her dress caught on fire and she burned to death. Like, she didn't die of smoke, she burned to death. And he tried to put the flames out, and when he couldn't do that, he even took his own body and tried to smother him up by wrapping himself around her, and he was burned so, you know, badly that he couldn't even attend the funeral. And if you've ever seen a picture of Longfellow and you see that huge beard, he wears that beard to try to cover the scars of his face. And so he has that tragedy, and then his son, Charlie, runs off to war without his blessing, without his agreement on it. He runs off, joins the Union Army, just as a private. And he advances, and then he's sitting at home on this December the 1st night, and he gets this telegram that says, Charlie's really... it is a bad situation. More than likely, he's going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. The bullet went in through his left shoulder, came out underneath his right shoulder blade, grazed his spine as it went across. And so Longfellow hops on a train and heads for D.C., finds Charlie at a hospital there in D.C., learns that he's not going to be paralyzed, but it is going to be a long, long, long road of recovery. And so by the time he's been there for a while, Christmas Day rolls around and church bells begin ringing out. And he, in the midst of all that's going on with the tragedy of his wife, now the injury of his son, and the war that is looking bleak and dark, and people are just dying by the wayside, in the midst of his despair at the bleakness of this situation, on Christmas Day, 1863, when he heard those bells, he writes this: I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet, the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along with this unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But watch this. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Like, even in the midst of despair and bleakness, there is a settled guarantee of hope because Christ has come and he's with us right now. Like, the dawn of salvation has broken in. And it's going to, the full sun will emerge someday. You can see the light coming over the horizon, but someday the sun will fully break in. And so there's hope. He's coming again. He's going to enter the world again, and we'll sing that eschatological song of joy to the world. Because joy to the world is not a song about Christmas past, and it's not a song about Christmas present. It's a song about Christmas future when Jesus returns, when the second advent happens, and there's joy to the world, and the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. There's joy to the world, the Savior reigns. There's joy to the world because no more do sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. And He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the wonders of His righteousness, the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. That's coming. That's coming. This is the hope of Christmas future. This is coming. We don't just live for this world right now. There's greater coming. Jesus, this is the hope of Christmas future. Jesus is on the throne. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and He's about to return. Second Advent. Christmas number two, as it were. And not as a baby, lowly and meek, but as a warrior king on a horse with His name written on His thigh and a flaming sword coming out of His mouth and blood of His vanquished foes on His robe. And when He comes again, He'll bring with Him a restoration of all the mess, of all the wrong that has happened in this world. He's bringing a restoration. I mean, I've shared this. The Bible is 66 books, but it's not 66 stories. It's one. It is one story, a story of creation, and then the fall of man in sin. And then everything else in the Bible is about the redemption that's coming in Christ, Old Testament, and the redemption that has come in Christ, New Testament, and looking forward to a future restoration of all things. Like, the story is not beginning, middle, end. It's beginning, middle, new beginning. Restoration. Everything that's gone wrong made right. First Advent, again, the light of salvation has come. Just as in the early morning hours, you can see the light in the sky, but you don't see the sun yet. That's Jesus' first Advent. The light of salvation is broken through, and at His second Advent, the Son of Righteousness will be fully raised. And our hope will be fully realized. Paradise will be regained. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And He who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And He said, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my child. That's coming. A day when tyranny is gone, and sin is gone, and idolatry is gone, and sorrow is gone, and warfare is gone, and exploitation is gone, and unrighteousness is gone, and injustice is gone, and racism is gone, and blasphemy is gone, and pain is gone, and it's replaced by unending and ever-increasing peace, love, and joy that knows no end. And so, yes and amen, wrong will fail. right will prevail. And there will be peace on earth and goodwill to men. This is the hope of Christmas past. Jesus has come to save sinners. Of Christmas present, Emmanuel, God is with us. And Christmas future, Christ will return. That's the real Christmas story. And so this season, marvel at this story. Wrong will fail, right will prevail, and there'll be peace on earth and goodwill to men. Let's pray. Father, we long. We long, Christ, for you to return. We're anxious, we're expectant, and we cry with John, the writer of the book of Revelation, to come, Lord Jesus, to return, and to finish what you began in Bethlehem. Indeed, to finish what you began in the beginning. When he created the heavens and the earth. Oh, glorious God. Who lives in unsearchable holiness. And yet has in Christ condescended. And taken on flesh. Become incarnate in this world and experience it as we have. And did so to save us from our sin. Would you wreck us in the most awesome way with the glory of this news? With the weight of this good news of great joy that is for all who will believe. For unto us was born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Father, I'd be remiss if I didn't pray for those in here today, Lord, who I know are hurting during this season, are worried during this season, have burdens during this season, have brokenness during this season. Who don't know how it's going to go. Uncertainties are huge during this season. Lord, would you, in a very special way, remind them of your presence. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. In Christ's name.